Okay, so this is our final shiur on the topic of Kavod HaBriyos. Basically, right, the overall yisod, right, the basic, you know, statement that the Gemara starts off with is the notion that when you have a clash between the values of Kavod HaBriyos and Chil Hashem, right, that generally the rule is that Chil Hashem beats out Kavod HaBriyos, right? The famous drasha that is actually quoted on Shabbos by one of the, I was looking for a couple of eye contacts there. Because right, in Joshua, in Chachma, in Tuna, in Eitzel, in Eger Hashem, Kamakam, Shesh, Chil Hashem, in Chok, in Kabbal, Rav. Right, so the rule that the Sukkiah starts off with is the idea that the Chil Hashem trumps Kavod HaBriyos. But with any good rule, and any good topic, for every rule, there's going to be a couple or several exceptions. So we've been basically discussing each exception. So basically, you know, over the course of the sugya, let's go through the different exceptions. Exception number one was mitzvos derabanan, right? That mitzvos derabanan will be trumped by kavod HaBriyos. Exception number two was mitzvos shel mamon. So mitzvos shel mamon, even mitzvos d'oraisa, such as a Shabbos Aveda, but if it's in the realm of mamonos, they will also be trumped by kavod HaBriyos. And then you have the factor of sheva altasa, which basically says even if it's an iser d'oraisa, but if you're only violating the sheva altasa, kavod HaBriyos is going to trump it. And the fourth exception, which wasn't in the explicit in the Gemara, but really came out of the Gemara, is the idea of meis mitzvah midin kavod HaBriyos being doche the isurei tuma of a kohen and a nazir. That was the fourth exception that we discussed last time. So I'd like to finish up by discussing a potential fifth exception, which again is not explicit in the Gemara, but is discussed by many Rishonim. And that is a case of, let's say you have a case where one person is violating an avera d'oraisa, but it's b'shogeg, right? He's not aware that he is violating the iser d'oraisa, b'kum v'ase. The question is the bystander who witnesses this, is he mechuyev to prevent that other person from violating the iser d'oraisa, b'kum v'ase, b'shogeg, if preventing that other person from violating the avera will be a breach in his kavod HaBriyos? So in essence, you have a clash. It seems like a clash, again, between the person's kavod HaBriyos and an avera d'oraisa, but an avera d'oraisa only being violated b'shogeg. So here the clash is between, on the one hand, you have kavod HaBriyos, on the other hand, you have the Chil Hashem generated by an avera d'oraisa, but only b'shogeg. And the question is, what happens in such a case? What happens in such a clash? So, as we're going to see right now, there are two general approaches, and they'll be shown in terms of what happens in such a clash. So the first group of Rishonim, first approach in the sugya, is to say that in such a case, right, Kavod HaBriyos is going to beat out this Avera Bishoki. And according to this first approach, the only case that the Gemara establishes that where the Avera d'Oraisa, the Chil Hashem of the Avera d'Oraisa is going to trump Kavod HaBriyos, that's only when the Avera is being violated, b'mezid, when the person himself is aware of his violation. And the question is, do I continue violating this d'Oraisa, or do I stop violating this Avera b'mezid, or am I allowed to continue because of my Kavod HaBriyos? That's the only time that we say that the Avera trumps the Kavod HaBriyos. But according to this first approach, in the case we just gave, where the Avera is only being violated b'shogeg, in that case, the Kavod HaBriyos is going to override that Avera b'shogeg. Basically, according to this first approach, the klal, that initial klal in the Gemara, is limited to a case of mezid. So the first indication to this first approach, again, the original klal that the Chil Hashem trumps the Kavod HaBriyos is limited to a case of mezid, is from the initial line in the Gemara itself. Eli, would you mind reading just the opening line in the Gemara? Am Yehuda Marav. Okay. So where is the indication in that initial line that it's limited to a case where it's the person himself?
So if somebody finds kelaim in his own baget.
Exactly. Right? So already in Meduyuk in the Gemara, in the initial line, where it says, Hamotzei Kelayim Bibigdo, when a person finds Kelayim in his own Beged, which means now he is aware that he is violating, so now his Avera, Nikano Laba, will be Bemezid, and the clash is between his Avera Bemezid and the counter pressure of Kavod HaBriyos. So in this case, the Gemara says, and only in this case, according to this first approach, the Gemara says that, because it's an Avera b'mezid, that's going to trump Kavod HaBriyos, and therefore, even at the expense of your Kavod HaBriyos, you have to take off the climb and prevent yourself from being over b'shogeg. b'nezer. But according to even just the initial lashon the Gemara, it sounds like it's dafka b'bigdo, dafka the case where it's going to end up being b'mezer. But if it's someone else who's not aware, then the basic implication of the Gemara is that this din would not apply, and perhaps in that case, kavra brios would be docha that avera b'shovi. So again, just before we get into any of the Rishonim, it's important always to look whether there are any indications in the text or in the lashon of the Gemara, and here you have, at least in this first line, a clear indication that's limited to the case it's Big Do himself. Okay. Another Gemara where this comes up. Anybody bring a Gemara Menachos?
Yeah.
Okay, if you can take that out. I should just run this. Right, so we're going to see that Gemara Menachos has two different versions of a story. And we're going to see right now that the two different versions of the story, which don't seem to be so different, but if you pay careful attention in light of our sugya, these two different deos in the Gemara seem to be two different deos about the question that we're asking itself. So the first dea, right, the first version of the story in Menachos, the story starts off in Menachos, Lamed Zayin Amid Beis. So if you start... So five lines up. Ravina Havaka Azel.
Ravina Havaka Azel. The Basrei the Mar Bar Ravashi. Shabta.
To Rigla.
Ifsek Karna.
Right. So what was the case? So basically, Ravina and Mar Bar Ravashi are taking a stroll, right, on Shabbos. Of the Rigla. That doesn't matter for our purposes. Yeah.
Ifsek Karna the Chute.
Right. So one of the tzitzis strings of Mar Bar Ravashi broke off. And now, this is with the context of the Gemara, that, right, there's the according to the Shita, which says that you need that Machokas Tanaim in the Gemara, basically, whether each, you know, string in the Gemara, on your tzitzis, the Arba Konfos, each of the four Konfos, are they, each one is a mitzvah b'nei atzma, or is it really all one mitzvah? The Gemara here is saying it's really all one mitzvah, and therefore, if one of them is broken, that undermines the entire mitzvah, and therefore, now, l'maisa, the person is wearing a beged, which is a masoi, right? It's no longer serving the purpose of the mitzvah, and therefore, the question is, he's now carrying something, birushus harabim. So the question is the bot, right? So again, the person who's wearing this beged of that tzitzis, we'll see, is not aware that his beged has, that one of the strings has been cut off. But the bystander, Ravina, does realize. And the question is, what is he going to do? Velo. So Ravina decides not to say anything. What's the end of the story? Oh, by the way, you see that the tzitzis, a string has fallen off. Don't think it just fell off, when we got into the house. By the way, it fell off when we were in the Rishus Rabbah. It's like a question. Are you trying to imply that if you would have told me on the spot, I would have taken it off? What do you mean? What do you mean? I have the factor of kavod habrios would dictate that I should be able to keep the beged on. Answer is.
No.
It doesn't apply because kavod habrios is only docha and isra d'rabbanan. This would be an isra d'oraisa v'otzah b'rishus harabim. So implication is that if he would have been told, he would have to take it off his clothing because in that case, the kavod habrios loses out to the isra d'oraisa. Fine. But in the end of the day, did Ravina tell him? No. So according to this first day of the Gemara, it's exactly this case. Right? You have a case where you see your friend or another person, right, violating an isra d'oraisa, but it's bishogeg, and Ravina, and the implication is that if you would have told him, he would have had to take it off. But, says the Gemara, right, it emerges from the Gemara, because that Ravina didn't tell Mar Bar Ravashi, because, again, because Mar Bar Ravashi was only violating this Isser D'Oraisa V'Otzah bishogeg, and Ravina, according to this first day on the Gemara, this first version of the Gemara, seems to be saying that you do not inform the other person since he's only, right, since he's only violating a pishogig. So therefore, the factor of kavod habrios is docha that isra d'oraisa pishogig. Right. So again, so not only from the lashon of our Gemara, which is dafka bebigdo, that's dafka in the case where it's him himself, and he's aware that kavod habrios loses out to isra d'oraisa. So not only our Gemara, but again, the first day in the Gemara Menachos, Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, clearly says you have exactly this type of situation. And yet Ravina does not inform his friend, because again, the factor of kavod habrios is doche in Isser D'Oraisa, which is being violated, bishogeg. Again, so you have two Gemaras now in line with this first approach, again, that Kavod HaBrios beats out an Avera B'Shogeg. Fine. Two Gemaras. Now let's move on to the Rishonim on the matter. So this is a Rush found, right? The Rush has a, you know, crunches on Kilei Begadim. Kilei Begadim in Masachas Nida. So there is a, you know, everyone quotes this Rush, very famous Rush, who adopts this first approach. Tzvi, would you mind taking away? Oh, do you have the Mar Makoma? Yeah, it's on the Makoros itself. It's the Rush. Right, so that's the classic case, that if it's you yourself, you realize that you're wearing the Begadim, you have to take it off, because Kavod HaBrios loses out to this Isser D'Oraisa of Kilayim. But, says the Rush, right, so what's the rush saying? In a case where Shogeg, you don't need to tell him, and he's very clear because the factor of Kavod HaBrios overrides the Avera B'Shogeg. Right, so the value of Kavod HaBrios, although it loses to an Issur D'Oraisa B'Mezid, according to the first approach, and the Rush adopts this, the fact of Kavod HaBrios will trump an Avera D'Oraisa violated only B'Shogeg. And therefore, the Kavod HaBrios dictates that bystander who's aware of the other person's violation should stay quiet and not tell him. Also, because once he tells him, then it becomes Mezid, and then he's going to have to take it off. So the value of Kavod HaBrios says, don't tell him, then remain B'Shogeg, and have the Kavod HaBrios be Docha, the Isser D'Oraisa B'Shogeg. So again, you have the, right, so far, we have the Gemara in Brachos Yutasna Beis, at least the first diak from the first line in the Gemara. You have the first Deya in the Gemara Menachos Lam Zayin Beis, and now you have the Rush in Maseches Nida. So now moving on to a Trumas Adeshin. We're going to see this Trumas Adeshin is quoted l'halacha by the Rama, a very important Trumas Adeshin. We're going to see not only is he Misyaches to the point we're making now, but there he's also, you know, makes a couple of in additional assumptions which relate to the overall sugya, one of which Mordechai and Michal pointed out to me today in Seder. So let's, Mordechai, do you have the Trumas Adeshin? So if you mind starting us off. Right, so the Kohen sleeping, not wearing so much clothing. I'm clear exactly what the situation is here. But either way, not wearing enough clothing, he'd be comfortable outdoors. I'll leave the details for everyone's imagination. Moving on. Yeah. So what, someone comes, wakes him up and says, someone died in the house. It's a classic case. Does he have to run out and breach his Kavod HaBrios because he's not dressed properly? Or do we say, no, the Kavod HaBrios will allow him to stay in the house to remain in the Tumah? So you have a classic clash of the sugya. On the one hand, you have an Issur D'Oraisa of Shehiyah B'Tumah. On the other hand, you have the value of Kavod HaBrios. What's going to win out? Before we go, you know?
If he could get dressed, so do we say he has to get dressed and then go out, or could he just stay there?
So we'll see right now. He's going to be Misachis at that point. Yeah, go for it. Tshuva. So it says in the classic case, in the case of the She'ela, you have to run out right away. Sounds like, to get to Yehuda's point, any delay of getting dressed is going to be an additional Isser. Any moment you continually remain in that all with the Tumas Meis is an additional Isser, and therefore you have to go out straight away. Right, and we're going to get back to this point, to this assumption in just a moment. But the Trumas Adeshin is assuming it's a different Pasha. This is the classic case of Rasugyo. You have a Kavod HaBrios, but that loses out to an Isser D'Oraisa, which you violate, Bekum Va'asei. And he says, how can you remain inside? Remaining inside is going to be an Isser D'Oraisa, Bekum Va'asei. Therefore, that's going to beat out Kavod HaBrios. We'll get back to that. But, says the Trumas Adeshin, which is going to be no get to our overall Sugyo today, Amnam. So what's the case? He's saying, but if the Kohen himself doesn't realize, but someone else is the one who finds out. So now, someone else, a non-Kohen, finds out that there's a mace in this oil, in whatever, in the halachic oil. Right? And the question is now that this bystander, the dilemma he faces, does he tell the kohen right away, knowing that the kohen is not dressed and will therefore have to run out, or does he wait? So what is the Chumash Nashim Paskin? Oh, so what does he say? First, wake him up. Don't tell him anything. Wake him up. Tell him to get dressed. He'll probably be like wondering, like, why are you waking me up in the middle of the night? Tell him to get dressed. Don't worry about it. Just get dressed. Once he's dressed, you tell him, by the way, there's tumah here. A person just died, and then the guy runs out. But the question is, what do you mean? You, by allowing him to get dressed, by withholding the information that there's a tumah's mace around, you're basically causing him to be over shehiya b'tumah. What's the idea? But the fact of covered up brios is doche. And now he's going to explicate this for Alpha P. Right, so even though that delay will end up causing him to violate this Isser Tumas Meis Midoraisa, says the Tumas Adeshin, again in line with this first approach, no, in a Hanami it's an Isser Doraisa, but it's only Bishogig, and the value of Kavara Brios is Doche, this Isser Doraisa Bishogig. Right, so Tumas Adeshin is agreeing with the Rush, in agreement the first day of Menachos, in agreement with the Diuk from the initial line of the Gemara, that Kavod HaBrios is going to be Docha in Isser D'Oraisa, which is only violated B'Shogeg. But before we move on, and see how this is brought down by the Ramah LaHalacha, just point out there are two additional assumptions by the Tumas Adeshin which are questionable. Right, the Tumas Adeshin, right, aside from right the fact that we just mentioned that, oh, right, in the case where someone else finds out first, that you should delay and telling the coin, first tell him to get dressed. That was the part that was okay to our overall sugya. But the Tumas Adeshin takes the Dabar Pasha, that if the coin himself finds out that there's Tumas Mace around, he has to go. Because he says, oh, because the Kavod HaBrios factor loses out to the Isser D'Oraisa. But I want you guys to tell me, there are two exceptions, potential exceptions in the sugya, which seem to apply in this case, that the Tumas Adeshin ignores, right? Okay, good. The classic one is Sheva Tas, right? Question you could have asked, like, wait a minute. Even when the Kohen himself finds out that there's Tumas Mace there, he should be able to just remain, because remaining is Sheva Tas, and we know that Kavod HaBrios beats out an Isser D'Oraisa of Sheva Tas.
There's a way to get out of it.
What?
There's a way to get out of it with that.
But at the end of the day, your violation of Shehiyah, but
is nothing else. It's either Sheva Tas, like either Kavod HaBrios or that. You could.
But that's what. But doesn't the sugya teach us that that's what Sheva Tas is? That what's the gufa is, sir?
Gufa is lelechet leitama, going to leitama lame. It's not gufa is suv be lelechet leitama.
Okay, but then. Correct, but at the end of the day, but in this case, you're not being molech to the tumah; you're just remaining there.
Right, yeah. That's,
that's the opposite. Yes. That's where you're doing a maisa, but the maisa is not the gufa iser. Here, you're not doing a maisa.
But the gufa isur, the
lo gufa isur. Where do you do? Where do you
do?
Where do
you do? Okay, are you trying to say like the ritva by kilayim?
No.
Okay. You have to. But I think you might be getting at is that, and again, this takes is going to take further investigation into the sugya of shehiyah b'tumah, which I'm not prepared to do. But what seems to come out of this Tumas Adeshin has been, if you remember, the ritva in Makos, right? We're trying to explain a parallel issue of why in the sugya, when a person is being lovish kilayim, right? The kilayim is on him, right? He's not putting it on, right? He finds out that he's wearing kilayim in the middle of a shuk. And yet the Gemara seems to assume that just continually wearing that kilayim is considered a kumva aseh. Yeah, right? And the ritva was bothered by that, as other Rishon Amar, why is that kumva aseh? He's just passively wearing the big day, you know, kilayim. So to that, the ritva says is the chiddush in kilayim, that there, any opportunity you have to remove the big day, you know, kilayim, and you don't remove it, it's as if you're putting it on. So right, so the Ritva said there's a chiddush in the context of Levishas Kelayim that even a passive, continually wearing Kelayim passively is mugdar, is nechshav, as if it's a kumba ase, because any time, right, any opportunity you had to remove the Kelayim is as if you're deciding to put it back on, based on the Gemara Makos. So you, the Truma Zaz Avishan is seemingly going to have to carry over that type of svara to the context of Shia Batuma, which I'm not sure if that's what Shmuel was trying to say, where Shia Batuma is similarly any opportunity you have to escape, to disengage from the Tumas Mace, and you decide to remain there, it's as if you are Bekum Ba'aseh engaging with the Tumah. That's what's coming out of the Shumas Adeshin. Similar to the way the Ritzvah says in the context of Kilayim, that a passive continued wearing of the Begadim is treated as if, you, right, when you have the opportunity to take it off, is treated as if you are actively putting on the big day, you know, Kilayim. So too, the Shumas Adeshin seems to be assuming that passively remaining in contact with Tumas Meis, when you had the opportunity to leave and to disengage, is viewed as if you are continually Bekum Ba'aseh engaging with the Tumas Meis. That's the assumption that the Shumas Adeshin seems to be making, which again is a chiddush in Shehiyah Betumah, but again, that's a little beyond our scope. Yeah.
In the case where you see your friend.
Yeah.
And he has Kilayim,
mm-hmm.
and you say nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be similar to the case where you do give Eidus in Isura, even though it's Shevel?
Okay, very good. That's going to be the basis of the second approach. Good. The Shagas Arya is going to say that exact lumdus that you just said is the basis of the second approach, who argues with this. Excellent. Baruch Shkivanta. Excellent. But the current first approach of, you know, is disagreeing with Halamdas doesn't think that allowing, that enabling someone else to do an Avera, that causes that Avera to be misahas to you. We'll get back to that. Well, there are other answers. Remember, the Tosa says two answers to that. Yeah, so again.
Most of the Rishonim don't agree with.
Okay, but it could be that these Rishonim will agree or will offer a different answer to that. Are there any other, did we see any other alternative answers to that Gemara? I don't recall. But could we, they're going to have to say the Gnai Muba idea. But good. Okay, so again, assumption number one that Shumas Adeshin makes is that this case doesn't fall under the exception of Sheva Atas. When he points out, you might have to have some Ritva Lumdas carried over to Shiva Tuma. Yeah.
And also, the
Tosas
in Shmuel said that Kohen is more cow.
Yeah.
And Kohen loses Dolphin.
I mean, our Tosas in Brachos also. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's in our Sogi also. Oh, good. So the second assumption, as you remember, we pointed out, right, the third exception, listen, exception number one was Mrs. Durabanan. Exception number two was Mamanus. Exception number three was Sheva Tasa. Exception number, right, that's what we just discussed. Exception number four we discussed last year was this idea that we know that Mishum Tumas Meis, Tumas Meis is Doche, which is Surim. Which is Surim? Tumas Meis of a Kohen and an Azir. That same Isra of Tumas Meis is exactly the Tumas Meis that the Shumas Adeshin is dealing with. But yet, the Shumas Adeshin assumed, right, and it's clear from there that the Kavod Abrios of Meis Mitzvah is Doche, the Isra Tuma of a Kohen and an Azir. So as the Tzlach points out, if you remember, at the end of last year, we said, there are two mahachim in what's the basis, why is it that tumas, that meis mitzvah is doche, the iser tumah of a kohen and ozer, points out two approaches. When we said it's an afkamina, it's exactly this case. Or is it the first approach, Rashi, idun, udime, is what? What's the basis? Why is it that meis mitzvah is doche, iser tumah? According to Rashi, it's hutra, right? And the idea of hutra is that b'makom meis mitzvah, there is no iser tumah. If you think about it, if you take that approach of hutra, what is that unique to? Meis mitzvah. And remember we pointed out at the time that if you have another type of Kavod Abrios, like our case, where the Kavod Abrios is not because of meis mitzvah, but it's because the person is Arum. So according to that first approach of Rashi, he says the only reason why the Iser Tumah of a Kohen and Nazir is overridden by Kavod Abrios is because it's a hutra. That's particularly about the particular dynamic between Meis Mitzvah and the Iser Tumah. But according to that first approach of Rashi Udine, if you have a case like ours, where the Kavod Abrios is not because of Meis Mitzvah, but it's because another factor, like the person not being clothed, so then it wouldn't necessarily you know, create this hutra dynamic with the Isser Tuma. And so therefore, the Chumas Adeshin seems to be holding like that Shita of Rashi. Because if the Chumas Adeshin agreed with Tosfos, who says, no, the reason why Meis Mitzvah is Docha, the Isser Tuma of a Kohen and a Nazir, is because the Isser Tuma is Kal. Because the Isser Tuma for a Kohen is Eino Shavu B'Kol. The Isser Tuma for a Nazir is Nitam B'She'ila. But if it's all about the Kal nature of the Isser Tuma, so that would carry over to even our case. So as long as you have any factor of Kavod HaBrios coming up against the Isser Kal of Tumas Meis, the Isser Tumas Meis should be Nitches, should be overridden by the factor of Kavod HaBrios. So the fact that the Chumas Adeshin assumes that the Kavod HaBrios here does not override the Isser Tuma for a Kohen, Chumas Adeshin seems to align with Rashi that the only reason by Meis Mitzvah is because their particular dynamic between Meis Mitzvah creating a din of Hutra with the Isser Tuma of a Kohen, but therefore it's limited to Meis Mitzvah, but any other Kavod HaBrios, like the case of Aram, would not qualify. Yeah.
Maybe consider the thing of Shua, that the only reason making Mitzvah is Tras, because
it's the same partial, 100%, 100%, yeah. But any other Kavod HaBrios, such as here, it wouldn't apply. Exactly, 100%. Okay. Awesome. Okay, so again, just, you know, big picture, right, within the first approach, at the Gemara in Brachos, which said Dafka Bigdo, you have the first day in Menachos, where Ravina didn't inform Mar Bar Avashi, you have the Rosh, and now you have the Chumas Adeshin all saying that the Kavod HaBrios does override an Aveira Mishoge. But now, to see this Lahalacha, you have the Ramah. By the Ramah, in two different places, Paskins this idea that Kavod HaBrios is going to override an Aveira Mishoge. The first one is exactly the case of the Chumas Adeshin. This is in Shin Ayin Beis Aleph. So here the Ramah basically just quotes the Chumas Adeshin. He says, in the case where a Kohen Sheshochev Arum, the case where the Kohen is, right, unclothed and sleeping, V'hu ba'oel imamis, and he's, right, V'lo yada, and he is not aware that he is in the same oel as a mes, in lahagilo, don't tell him immediately, Eliyikru lo stam, wake him up, wake him up, make him get dressed, and only inform him afterwards, because the factor of Kavod HaBrios allows him to bishogeg remain in contact in the OL of the Tumas Meis. So again, the Ramah clearly passing like the Chumas Adeshin, the Kavod HaBrios is going to be doche on the Avera bishogeg. And then the Ramah Lishitaso, again, is on Yoredeya, in Shin Gimel Aleph. Right, basically, right, in the context of Shulchan Aruch discussing the case of Kelayim Bishuk, points out that the only time the whole din of being poshed Kelayim Bishuk is only when the person has been mazed. But if the bystander case of the person who is wearing the Kelayim is not aware that he's wearing Kelayim, then the bystander should not tell him again, because this is the yisod that Kavod HaBrios beats out an Aver Bishuk. So this is Shin Gimel Aleph. The Ramah quotes as a Yeshomrim, De'im haya halovish shogeg, if the person who's wearing the kelayim is unaware, Ein tzarech lomer lo b'shuk, don't inform him, don't tell him that he's wearing kelayim, D'mishim kavod HaBrios yishtok, the factor of kavod HaBrios basically compels you to stay quiet, v'al yafrishenu mishogeg, and don't worry about him violating mishogeg. Clearly that the value of kavod HaBrios is dochep the avera bishoge. So here you have this first approach, all adopting the shita that Kavod HaBrios is doche the iser bishoge. And again, this approach is pretty reasonable, and right, the lambda seems to be very clear. It seems to be right in the whole hierarchy of values we've all been discussing. You know, in the hierarchy of values, based on what comes first. So since this approach is clearly assuming that the value of Kavod HaBrios outweighs the value of Avera Bishogeg, right? Outweighs the Chil Hashem engendered, triggered by an Avera Bishogeg. And therefore, this approach clearly says that the value of Kavod HaBrios beats out an Avera Bishogeg because, again, in terms of the hierarchy of values, Kavod HaBrios is a greater value than the Chil Hashem engendered by an Avera Bishogeg. That's the simple explanation. Yeah.
And Avera Bemezid B'tzina, the implication is, would then not
correct, because the Eino Doma and a Chil Hashem perspective. Again, Eino Doma from a Chil Hashem perspective and a Aver B'Shogeg and a Aver B'Mezid. Even if there are more people witnessing.
What is the Chilul Hashem? Yeah, that everyone sees.
No. potentially.
So
but because he's bishogeg, but because he's bishogeg, it's not such a chil Hashem. No, I mean the chil Hashem is violating the avera.
And what is chil Hashem and the guy that making the avera?
Yeah, the chil Hashem is triggered by the person violating the avera. But because he's, I mean, what's chil Hashem? How can this person violate the Torah? But he's only doing it bishogeg, so the chil Hashem is lower.
People that see it that actually get the chil Hashem know that it's bishogeg.
What?
They don't.
Right.
No, they realize that the guy is unaware. You're saying, how do they? You're asking, how do they know? Yeah. You're asking,
because everyone
I mean, it's a case where the guy is like an upstanding citizen, and yeah, he didn't. You may remember, in, according to halacha, if you don't receive hasra, right? If you don't receive hasra, and we don't know that you know, so we'll assume you're shogeg. The guy just walks in the shuk. He doesn't realize that his, you know, his shatna is in a suit.
It's not chilul Hashem because it's bashuk, because everyone sees him.
No, but because it's an avera bishogeg, the chilul Hashem is on a lower level. That's what these people are. This first approach are all saying in a chanami there's a chilul Hashem, but because the chilul Hashem, which comes out in avera bishogeg, is on a lower level, and Kavod Abriyos beats that out.
Even if it's bishogeg, it's still chilul Hashem. Like he's degraded in your eyes.
In a chanami, but it's on a lower level, such that it, in terms of the hierarchy of values, the value of Kavod Abriyos is beats out the lower level chil Hashem. You're right, there is a chil Hashem, but it's on a lower level, and that this first approach thinks that Kavod Abriyos is a greater, is a greater value.
There's between the Eden, there's no Torah.
What?
Eden. If there's no Torah in Eden, no Eden, then what's the difference between the Torah and Eden? I mean, other people don't know, but whatever. Like,
you're asking, let's say, let's get into the whole...
most cases, yeah.
Let's get into the sugya of Hasra. Is there really a concept of Mezu without Hasra? But... you're saying, let's say, Lu Yitzura, you had, let's say, in the case of like a Chacha, right? That's the big, is the big lambdas is Hasra, just to differentiate between Mezin and Shogeg, Nafkimina, if the guy's a Chacham, and Tam Chacham, he knows the Halacha. So in the case where you know the guy knows the Halacha, and you know that he's aware that he's wearing Kilayim. That's, what?
How do you know that he's aware?
I'm saying,
Lu Yitzura, I mean, that's the case. So that would constitute Maze it for our purposes. These Rishonim are saying in a case where the guy is unaware. You know the guy's unaware. You know that he's not aware of that. Okay? Fine. So again, Ad Kan is approach number one, which again, from a Lumdus perspective, was easier to understand. It's very simple, right? The Kavod Abriyos beats out the lower level Chalasha.
But
well,
it's more mashmah.
What? Kavod Abriyos the Shogeg?
Because
what?
Shouldn't take him out of that status.
That just means factually.
Yeah,
you don't have to be mafresh him.
Even if he's gonna take it off right away. And then there won't be any soul.
Yeah, that's not mashma hutra. That's just those are the facts of the case. Because Kavod Abriyos beats out the Avera Bishogig, Lamaisa, you don't have to be mafresh him from the Avera Bishogig.
You shouldn't.
I know, because Kavod Abriyos overrides.
Because the sutra.
What? I don't know where you got
or
that. It's just that. Yeah, I don't know.
It would be better for him to just take the Isur off.
No, Dechuya. Even Dechuya means that overrides. I mean, Docha means that Kavod Abriyos is a bigger value.
Right, but there still is a problem.
No, that's not what Dechuya means.
I
say Docha Losa, I say. The Torah is Dechuya. Meaning it's a heter.
Problems that the issue still applies is just overridden.
Yeah.
As opposed to the problem.
And I mean, the chuyah means lechatchila, you shouldn't have entered into a situation, but of course the whole thing is bidyavid. In a case where there's a clash, meaning no one wanted the guy to die. Meaning, in a case, the guy was stuck in the OL. But, meaning, the nafkamin between hutch and the chuyah is, okay, lechatchila, can you be machlis yourself into such a situation? One of the classical nafkaminos between hutch and the chuyah. But this whole clash between an Isser and a Kavod Abriyos is by definition, bidyavid.
You see, lechatchila, you should do the isur.
What?
In a case where bidyeved, you're in the clash between Kavod Abriyos and the Isser Bishogeg, yes, lechatchila, allow the guy to continue doing the Isser because Kavod Abriyos beats it out. Yes.
So we say it's lechatchila.
It's semantics. Bichi hagavna, when you're stuck, i.e., bidyeved. Once you're bidyeved, by definition. So then in this case, yeah. Yes.
Once it's bidyeved.
Because the Kavod Abriyos. Yeah. Yeah. That doesn't mean it's hutra. That's all I'm saying. Okay, fine. Moving up. Okay, so now getting to the second approach, which we're going to see is going to be more mechudash, or more mechudash from a lumdas perspective. But let's first, before we get to the lumdas, let's try to document these shittos in the Gemaros and in the Rishonim. All right, so according to the second approach, this is going to say that the din of Chilul Hashem overriding Kavod HaBrios, or from another perspective, of Kavod HaBrios losing out to the Chilul Hashem of an Isser D'Oraisa, according to the second approach, is even going to apply in a case where the person is violating the Avera D'Oraisa, seemingly even Bishogig. Even in the case where the person is violating the Avera Bishogig, even in that case, that Avera Bishogig trumps the counter value, the counter pressure of Kavod HaBrios, and we say, inform the guy of the Avera he is committing, even at the expense of his Kavod HaBrios, because we prefer to prevent that violation of the Avera, even Bishogig, even though it's going to come at the expense of his Kavod HaBrios. So, the indication of this from the Gemara itself is from the end of the Memra. Can anybody point to two words in the initial Memra in the Gemara, which implies that we're talking about a case where it's even a bystander having to tell his friend that he's violating an Avera? Two words in the... What? Kavod L'Rav. Yeah? Nadav, would you mind reading the Drasha? Very important line in the Gemara. We're going to see each of these approaches are going to deal with the other diak, presumably by there being different Gersaos. We'll see. Some of Farshim say this explicitly. We're going to see. We'll get back to it in a second. But yeah. Just my timer.
Why would you have to take them off in the... Why would you not take them off in the shuk? So you say that there's Hashem... If I'm going to
Right, so if you, I don't know about you, like when I first read this Gemara, and it says, Ein Chokin Kavod HaRav, you're like, where did the Kavod HaRav come in? Like, beginning starts off, I motze Kilayim Bebigdel, and then all of a sudden it's like, Kavod HaRav? Like, where did Kavod HaRav come in?
The same drasha appears in several places.
No, true, but I'm saying, what is it coming to teach us? So the pashtus of this deal of Kavod HaRav, again, according to this Girsa, is that where does Kavod HaRav come in? What is it? What's the tzir? What's the case?
If you saw your Rav wearing
kilayim. Exactly. If you see your Rav, your Rav wearing kilayim, right? And, right, informing him would be a breach in his Kavod HaBrios. The chiddush is, yes, even at the expense of the Kavod HaBrios of your Rav, still...
You should inform him or you should tear it off?
So that's... Different versions of that. We'll see the lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam seems to say, tear it off. Others, I think that's just a question of. I think that's more of a mitzvah question. I remember seeing
the one second that he had them, and you don't rip it off.
I think there's just different scenarios based on the Gemara.
What if you're wrong?
They point out that the Rambam is coming off a later Gemara in Daf Chav.
We'll be confident.
Yeah, I think that's a Metzias factor. I think if you're able to inform the person, he's able to prevent himself, from violating the Avera immediately. Then that would be a reasonable course of action. But in short, right? So this diuk in the Gemara of Ein Chokin Kavod HaRav seems to imply that it's even a case of Acherim, even in a case where you're the bystander and you see, someone else violating the Avera, seemingly even Bishogig, you are Mechuyav to breach his Kavod HaBrios to prevent him from violating the Avera, presumably even Bishogig. So again, so the first indication that this halacha of Kavod HaBrios losing out to an Isser D'Oraisa even applies in the case of the bystander preventing, his friend from doing it, the first indication of this is that Lashon the Gemara of Ein Chokin Kavod HaRav, it sounds like there are two people at play here. Okay, that's the first raya from the Gemara. The second Gemara, going back to the Gemara Menachos. So if you take us back, thank you, Dov. All right, to the second version, the Ikeda Amri, there's a thing which goes back to Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, the second version of the story, which again is very important for our sugya because the second version of the story has, plays out differently. Go for it. The Ikedamri.
Ikedamri be hasam amar alai.
Is that what?
Ravina commented about it.
Ravina told him on the spot, right when Ravina saw that Marbar of Ashi was violating an Avera, presumably Bishogeg. There's no way Marbar of Ashi would not have continued if he realized. So Marbar of Ashi was clearly Bishogeg, and yet, according to the second day, Ravina tells him. But then Marbar of Ashi, you know, has a retort. You're telling me to take it off? I know what's going on. Or even though, thanks for informing me, but my factor of Kavod HaBrios is going to allow me to keep it on. Because why? Because Hachanami
Karmelist Rabban.
Because here it's only a Karmelist according to the second version. So my Rav Ashi says I can keep it on because my personal Kavod HaBrios is Docha the Isser Hotzah, only the Rabban. But for our purposes, it's clear that Ravina thinks that when you see your friend violating an Avera Bishogig, you're supposed to inform him, even at the expense of his Kavod HaBrios. So Ravina is clearly assuming, along the lines of the second approach, that in such a case where your friend is violating Bishogig and preventing him from violating that Avera would be a breach in his Kavod HaBrios, second version of the Gemara in Menachos clearly says Ravina tells him, because Ravina holds that even so, being mafresh that your chaver from an avera bishogig beats out the value of kavod HaBrios. So again, Ravina seems to be holding like the second approach.
You don't need to be choshesh like that. Lifnei avera lo titen k'shol she'adif she'yum.
Okay, we're gonna get to that. That's gonna be potentially the lumbus of what's going on here. Okay, that's very important. The other ha'ara to be made here is that it's not right. We know Mar Rav Ashi's response is what? That it's only Hotzah Midrabana. So the question is, what did Ravina think? So Pash Pshah, what did Ravina think? What did you guys learn it? Mar Rav Ashi says, no! It's only Midrabana, and therefore Kavod HaBrios beats out the Isser Drabana. What did Ravina think when he was telling him?
It's not
a
Rishut
Agabim,
so there's no
Kvod HaBrios. What? Exactly. So the simple, there are two ways to understand Ravina. Either Ravina just thought it was an Isser, it was a Rishut Agabim. So again, maybe that a Machokis, you know, the Dini Erevin, whether it was a Rishut Agabim or a Karmelist, or he maybe just wasn't aware. That's the simple idea. But the other, and that doesn't affect our Sugya at all. The other possibility, which would be important, is that Ravina knew that it was Karmelis Midrabana, but he still thinks that Kavod HaBrios loses out to a mitzvah Drabana. We haven't seen such a shita yet. Up until now in our sugya, it seems that everyone agrees that Kavod HaBrios beats out a mitzvah Drabana. One point they had is that it's possible that Ravina is one shita in the Gemara who argues with that. It could be, if you assume that Ravina knew it was a Karmelist and was still saying, take off your beged, it could be that Ravina is one shita in the Gemara that we haven't seen yet, who holds that no, that Kavod HaBrios also loses out to a mitzvah Derabbanan.
How does he say that? How does that make sense?
Well, that's the wrong topic.
Rabbanan lo machluf.
Exactly. Thank you. If you remember, when we were going back to the sugya of Drabbanans, there's a whole group of Rishonim, the Rambam, Rashi, who basically said that Mitzvahs Drabbanan are really Midoraisa, and therefore, in a vacuum, the Mitzvah Drabbanan, because of Lo Sasser, should override Kavod HaBrios, and it's just because, Rashi says because the Rabbanan were mochel, the Rambam has his own factor of not being mefurish, but it could be the Ravina holds that, yeah, that Mitzvah Rabbanan is midoraisa, our whole discussion lo sasser, and therefore beats out Kavod HaBrios. It could very well be that. Again, it's not 100% clear, because Ravina could have just simply thought it was a Rishus Rabban Daraisa, but if he knew that it was a Karmelist, and yet he was saying to take it off, it would come out that Ravina is the one sheet in the Gemara who thinks that Kavod HaBrios loses out even to Mrs. Turabat.
I'm saying that maybe he meant that also at the beginning. I'm saying,
what's the point of
what? What's the point of adding a sheet of
Like,
no, it's
we don't see a Rashita anywhere. Huh?
I mean, I'm pointing out is that it's not.
Is there a Rashita like that besides here? Or?
Not that I know of.
Not so like.
Okay. All I'm pointing out is that. I mean, it's always important when you're looking at a Gemara to see. Meaning, a lot of times you have one Gemara takes something like a Zevar Pasha, and you find the Machlokas Amoraim in another place. So all I'm pointing out is that it's an ambiguity in Ravina in the Gemara here.
Gemara probably would have made it obvious, like
not necessarily, not necessarily. I know, but it meaning the question is to ask the question: what was Ravina's Havmina? So again, two options: either he thought it was Rishis Rabim, or maybe he disagrees. That's all I'm pointing out. And I think in Derech Limud wise, I think it's important. I think it's an important possibility, and you have this all the time, where one Gemara takes something as a Devar Pashut, but you have a Machlokas Amoraim elsewhere. And it's always very important to note if there are Shitos which hold that. Okay. I just lost my place here. Okay, fine. So in terms of the second approach, we had the Diuk in our Gemara from Kavod L'Rav, that again, even the Avera B'Shokeg would override the Kavod Prios, and then you had the second version of the Gemara in Menachos, which clearly holds that even though the other person was Beshogeg, Ravina still told him, because the idea of Kavod Prios losing out to even Avera Beshogeg. Is that him?
Nice.
Yeah.
We said before, by let us know that the Rush brings the Ether. It says that we say Tavshu should get game only by the Rabbanans, not by the Rises.
Yeah. You know, he says even further. He says, even by Doraisa Zeshanam Mefurish Bekra. He says, Dirabanans and Doraisa Zeshanam Mefurish Bekra.
Which, yeah. You could say Dirabanans are all Doraisa that are Mefurish
Bekra. Well, but Pozit Doraisa Mefurish Bekra.
Okay, fine. How does this?
Benjamin said you shouldn't tell him because
Mutav is only when you assume. Mutav is only when you assume that the guy's going to continue doing it for me. Is it?
I don't think we're going
to. Yeah, I mean, Mutav sheshogim al yu mizidin is only like, oh, even if you tell him, you just made him into amazing. He continues doing the avera. But in a case where you assume that the person's going to listen, Mutav doesn't apply. And that's important. Oh, so now in the realm of Rishonim, right? Who adopts this idea that even an avera bishogig beats out Kavod HaBrios. So who's the big shita who holds this?
Rambam.
The Rambam. All right, the Rambam in this famous Rambam Hilchos Kelayim, Perek Yud, Halacha Chavtes, right, when it's fascinating, when he presents the Gemara's Memra, he presents the case of a case of Acher. Anybody have the Rambam? Okay, over on Binyamin. Hilchos Kelayim, Perek Yud, Halacha Chavtes. Right, so when the Rambam, I'm stalling for you. Right, when the Rambam basically brings down our Gemara, right, this whole halacha is dedicated to the sugya of Kavod HaBrios, the exceptions, the rule. When he brings down the rule, he presents it as a case of Achirim, our case. Go for it.
Roy kilaim shel Torah al chaveru.
Oh.
Afilu haya malach bashuk ofetz lo vekoro ala miyad. Afilu haya rabo shel imdo chokma shen kavod HaBrios ochei yisur lo tasa mforash b'Torah.
Right. So the Rambam brings down the halacha that Kavod HaBrios loses out to Isser D'Oraisa. He formulates the case not when you are violating an Isser D'Oraisa b'mezid, but rather when you see another person violating. And he says that's the case which loses out to Kavod HaBrios, right? That other person's violation, which pashas is b'shogeg, even that avera b'shogeg, beats out Kavod HaBrios, and therefore you are, you know, compelled to, in the Rambam's case, to, you know, tear off the big day kilayim to prevent him from violating the avera. And again, from the fact that the Rambam says afilu hayarabo shelim do chachma, it seems that the Rambam is getting this right from the end of the memra. It seems to be having understood the end of the memra as teaching us that this the case is of acherim. But then the point out, what is the Rambam going to do with the first line? Right, we point out the first line says hamotzi kilayim bebigdo. Right, it clearly says well. Exactly. So the Radvaz says the Rambam is a different girsa. The Rambam's girsa takes out that word bibdigdo, and just in the Rambam's Gemara, it's just hamotzi kilayim poshtan afilu b'shuk, and then the continuation echol can cover the Rav. It's clear.
Maybe he said the case here like in the kol shekin, just from the word then echol can cover the Rav. He didn't need to say two cases. He can say just one case that
Not true. You know, 100%. But then I think what the Radvaz is saying that, but if the Gemara says Amotzei Kelaim Bebigdo, how do you know that it's not limited to that case?
Because then you said En Cholkin Kavod
La'olam. I know, but like, I'm saying, but like, which one is it? It's like Diyuk Resha and Seifa. If it's Big Dough, then Kavod La'olam doesn't make sense. If it's Kavod La'olam, but Big Dough doesn't make sense. So it's one has to go. So the Rambam writes to the Radvaz is saying the Rambam presumably doesn't have the gears of the Big Dough, and presumably the first approach, I was looking for this, I didn't see anybody say this explicitly, presumably doesn't say Kavod La'olam, presumably just says Ein Cholkin Kavod, and presumably takes out the word La'olam.
It's two times, no? Ein Cholkin Kavod La'olam.
Two times?
In the Gemara.
No.
Not in there?
No. I don't think so. I don't think so. But yeah. So that's important. So there I guess. So again, you have the couple of Rav Diyuk and Harag Gemara. You have the second day of Menachos. You have the Rambam in Kalayim, who clearly says it extends to the case of Acherim. And then you have the Shulchan Aruch, right? So the Shulchan Aruch, right, who aligns himself with the Rambam, not surprising, right? And Yoredeya Shin Gimel, again, just says this very clearly, and this is what one of the Ramaz was being masig on, right? The Shulchan Aruch says clearly, passing like the Rambam, Aroa Kalayim Shal Torah Al Chavera, even if you see the Kalayim on your friend, Afilo Hayim Halach B'Shuk, even if there's a he's in the shuk, and there's going to be a counterpressure of covenant of rios. Still, I have kofitz lo v'koro me'olav miyad. Tear it off. Ba'afil ha'irabo, even the chiddush, if it's yirav, even if it's a higher level of covenant of rios, still, the covenant of rios loses out, similarly to even the avira b'shoki. So here you have, right, the evidence, right, of the second approach. Again, dia kav l'rav, second day of Menachos, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, and now we have to get to the lamdas. And the question is, what is the basis, what is the reasoning behind this shita? That even an Avera Bishogig seemingly overrides the value of Kavod HaBrios. What's the lamdas here? And we're going to see right now, basically, we're going to skip on that, but we're going to present, for our purposes, three different approaches. Right? Three different approaches. The first approach we're going to see, which I think is the Pashup Shah, is basically the way we've been presenting it. The first approach basically says that the Chil Hashem triggered by an Avera B'shogeg simply overrides Kavod HaBrios. Right? So again, the first approach is focused on the person violating the Avera. You'll see what I mean by this in a moment. The first approach is focused on the person violating the Avera and saying that the Chil Hashem, which that person triggers through his Avera B'shogeg, it overrides Kavod HaBrios. With the Chiddush being that even though obviously, the Chil Hashem triggered by an Avera B'Shogeg is going to be on a lower level than the Chil Hashem triggered by an Avera B'Mezid, because he's not doing it on purpose. But even so, just the mere violation, this is very interesting, the mere violation of the Torah, even if the person is not, you know, doing it on purpose, just the very violation of an Avera, even B'Shogeg, has a high level of Chil Hashem, which is high enough to even override the D'Oraisa value of Kavod HaBrios. That's the first approach. Again, so the first approach is focused on the person violating the Avera and saying that even though that person is only violating B'Shogeg, still the level of Chil Hashem, which that Avera, albeit B'Shogeg, triggers, is enough to trump, to override the value of Kavod HaBrios. That is, I would say, the Pashup Shah. But now coming to, I would say, the second general approach, which says that no. The focus here should not be on the person violating the Avera B'Shogeg. The focus is rather on the bystander. So again, the first approach said that the focus is on the person violating the Avera and saying, oh, the Chil Hashem of an Avera B'Shogeg trumps the Kavod HaBrios. The second approach, we're going to see two different versions of it, the second approach is no. Meaning to say that if it was just the Chil Hashem B'Shogeg of the person, Chil Hashem triggered by an Avera B'Shogeg, that would not trump Kavod HaBrios. The only reason why we basically compel, right, the bystander to jump in is because for some reason the actions of the bystander in allowing the other person to continue doing the Avera, that is the problem which overrides Kavod HaBrios. Okay, good. We're going to see two different versions of this. So again, according to the second approach, that's all focused on the bystander, now we're going to see two different versions, we'll call it 2A and 2B, in terms of what is the role of the bystander, what is the bystander doing, such that, you know, we say that he can't sit idly by. So the first version, we'll call it 2A, which is adopted by the Shaigis Aryeh. This is in Simen Nunches, Dira Masel Tshuva. This is the Svara that Emmanuel gave before. Says the Shaigis Aryeh, that basically the din of Arvus, right? That when a person allows another person to violate an Avera, because you allow that other person to violate that Avera is Mesiaches back to you, the bystander. And he quotes that Tosas and Shavuos, which basically said that nightmare on the Gemara and Shavuos, which basically asked, Tosas asked in the Gemara, wait a second, why can't the Talmud Chacham just simply not give Edus that Sheval Taisa? Why is the Gemara limited to the realm of Mamonos? Even by Yisurim, Sheval Taisa just doesn't give Edus. And the second day, Tosas says, no, because if him not giving Edus will lead to, let's say, the Isha doing an Avera Bekumba Asay of getting remarried, so that Kumba Asay of the other person is Mesiaches back to the Talmud Chacham. So Tosas presented that you sort of view the bystander, your inaction directly leads to someone else doing an Avera, that Avera will be Mesiaches back to you, the bystander. So says Shaigis Aryeh, that's exactly the pshat in this Rambam and the second approach. That the reason why the bystander has to step in is because since he is aware of what's going on, if he allows that person to continue doing a Bishogeg, even though that person is Bishogeg, but that Avera, I'll say, of Levishas Kilayim will be Mesiaches back to you, the bystander, and since you're Bemazed, it's as if you're violating an Avera Bemazed, and then your Avera Bemazed trumps Kavod HaBrios. So again, according to version 2a, right, the idea is, it's not that an Avera Bishogeg of the person trumps Kavod HaBrios. No, Kavod HaBrios would trump an Avera Bishogeg. But because the focus is not on the person doing the Avera Bishogeg, but it's rather on the bystander who is completely aware of everything that's going on from his perspective, based on that Yesod of Tosas and Shavuos, Laman and Abiz, that by allowing the other person to do the Avera, that Avera is Misach is back to you, the bystander. So therefore, you, the bystander, is as if you're basically violating this Avera, and because you're aware of what's going on, it's as if it's an Avera Bemezid. So it's an Avera Bemezid Bekum Vaaseh, and an Avera Bemezid Bekum Vaaseh, we know, is Doche Kavod HaBrios. So that's version 2a, adopted by the Shaigis Aryeh, in light of that Tosas and Shavuos. So, Baruch Shekimata, Yishkoach. Oh. The second version of this is, right, again, this Shaigis Aryeh is a din klali. This would apply to all of theirs, right? It sounds like a general din in Arvus. Whenever you, a bystander, you know, are allowing another Avera to take place, that Avera is going to be Misachis to you. So that wouldn't be limited to Kalayim, it would apply to every type of Avera. You'll see why I say that. The second version, we'll call it 2B, is the Mahalach presented by the Raga Charver, by the Tzafnas Paneach on the Rama. Right? The Tzafnas Paneach, which is the Raga Charver's perish on the Rambam, again, on that Rambam in Hilchos Kalayim, Perek Yud, Halacha Chavtes, the Tzafnas Paneach says this is a din specific to Kalayim. Right? He points out that in order to understand this Rambam in Yud Chavtes, you have to read the Rambam two halachos later in Lamed Aleph. Binyamin, do you have the Rambam? Halacha Lamed Aleph? We're going to see the Raga Charver's explanation here is going to be specific to Kalayim. So the Rambam in Perek Yud Halacha Lamed Aleph says the following. Binyamin.
Amalbish et chavero kilayim, im ha lovesh mezid ha lovesh loke, ve amalbish over mishum lifnei ver lo titen michshol.
Okay, take a slow, because nobody's with us. Right? If someone is malbish, right? You put the big day, you put the kilayim on your friend. So if the lovesh, the person's wearing it, is aware of what's going on, so then he, the lovesh, violates the Isser Kalayim, and you violate the Isser Klali of Lifnei Iver. But, this is the key for our purposes.
Amazing.
Or what's the case? But if the lovesh has no clue that this is Kalayim, the only person who's aware that this is Kalayim is the malbish, then who violates the Isser Kalayim? Hamalbish loke, the halovish patur. In that case, the malbish violates the Isser Kilayim. Says the Raga Shavar, there's this din in Kilayim, which is fascinating, that the Isser of Kilayim...
Where do you see that from?
Are you asking? Let's first explain the Raga Shavar. I know you saw it. And then we'll ask questions on it. The Raga Shavar is saying that the Rambam is... the Shitasa to two halachos later. Basically, there's a, says the Raga Shavar, there's a specific din in Kilayim, that the Isser of Kilayim is not an Isser of Levishas Kilayim. As an Isser Levishas Kilayim, then you could, a Malbish could never violate that Isser because the Malbish is not being Lovish. Says the Raga Shavar, it's a fascinating chiddush in Kilayim, that the nature of the Isser is not Levishas Kilayim, but it's rather causing Kilayim to be worn. To quote the Lashon of the Raga Shavar, Ina Isser Lilbosh, it's not the Isser of Levisha, it's rather Sh'al yado lo yubash kilayim. You can't be the primary cause of kilayim being worn. So when the lovish is aware of what's going on and he knows what's doing, so then he's the primary person responsible for the lovish's kilayim because he's putting it on. But in the case where the lovish has no clue what's going on and the malbish is the only one aware, so then the primary person responsible for kilayim being worn is the malbish. Once you have the Yisod, Tzavos Ben Ach says, oh, the Rambam in Halacha Chav Tes is L'shitaso to Laman Aleph. Why here in the context of Kilayim do we say that the bystander, right, must stop the other person, says the Raga Shavar, because in this case of Kilayim, since you're the bystander or the only one who's aware that the other person is wearing Kilayim, so it's your responsibility to stop him, because if you don't stop him, then you are over the Isser of Kilayim. So again, the like the Shagas Aryeh, the Raga Shavar is focusing not on the person violating the Avera B'Shogeg, but rather is focusing on the bystander. But in contrast to the Shagas Aryeh, version 2a, who says a Din Klali, that any time that you, as a bystander, enable or cause or allow someone else to violate an Isser, and it's your responsibility that Isser is Mesyachis back to you, so says the Shagas Aryeh, so therefore the bystander is if he's violating that Isser, Bimezit. The Raga Shavar says, no, it's specifically a Din in Kilayim, to say that in this context of Kilayim, since the Isser is not about Levisha, but it's about causing the Kilayim to be worn, so in this context, the bystander is going to be over the Isser of Kilayim, so you have an Isser to Oraisa being violated, Bimezid, Bekum Vase, and therefore it's Pashut that overrides Kavod HaBrios. So just to point out before I take the questions, that this Satnas Paneach, again, has three assumptions. Assumption number one is that the Mechayev here is focused on the bystander, as we pointed out.
Or Pasuk? You have Limud from Pasuk?
I mean, not the question only to do with what I just said, right? You're just asking the Raga Shavar?
No.
Is he come? What?
About that. He has a pasuk that.
Oh,
is different.
Yeah, you have to look into the source of that Rambam in Lama. Yeah. You have to look into that. But again, there are three assumptions of the Satnas Paneach. Assumption number one, that the Mechayev here of the bystander intervening is the issue is mitzad the bystander, right? Because the bystander will be the one who the Isser Kalim will be mishachis to. That's assumption number one. Assumption number two is that it's specifically a din and Kalim, which is very important. So as Tzavos Paneach is explaining the Rambam, who happens to be dealing with Kalim, and it works for the Rambam, it works for the Shulchan Aruch, who's also dealing with Kalim, it works for the Diuk and our Gemara of Kavod L'Rav, which is dealing with the Kalayim, but the one Gemara it doesn't work for is the Gemara in Menachos, right? Because the Gemara in Menachos, we pointed out the second Daya, is a case where the person is not violating Kalayim, the person is violating Hotzah.
He could have been.
I'm saying that. Okay, but that it doesn't sound like the Isser is Kalayim, because then it'll be Isser D'Oraisa even if it's a Karmelis. It can't be, right? Because once the Gemara, once they establish the case of Karmelis, it says no Isser D'Oraisa, right? So it's only an Isser Hotzah. So again, so it's important. This Raga Shavar would only account, right, for a number, for some of the sources, but not the Gemara Menachos. Again, the Shagas Aryeh's explanation, which is a Din Klali, would account for all the sources, because his Svara is a general Din Arvus, accounts for every Avera. It's just important to note that the Raga Shavar's explanation is limited to Kalim, and therefore would not account for the second lashon in menachos. And then the third hanacha, which is also important, is that the Rambam in Halacha Lamed Aleph only says that the malbish is chayev. Sounds like when he does the maisa of being malbish, when he actually puts the kilayim on the other person.
No, that's the first case.
But the second case, what Rakeshar was coming off of, where it says in the case where the lovish is unaware of what's going on, then in that case the malbish doesn't violates not just the din klali of lifting iver, but violates the isra of kilayim. That's what he's carrying over here.
Heard of the Rosh, why wouldn't the first case also be he's causing the climb to be worn? Why wouldn't they both be chayev on climb?
Okay, well, let's get back to that. It's a good question. Let's get back to that. But I want to point out is that the Rosh is assuming that when the Rambam in Halacha Lamed Aleph has this din of being chayev the malbish, as in a case where he actually does a maisa of being malbish chavero. The Rakhachev is assuming that it's going to apply in our case where you're just a bystander. You're just passively allowing the person to continue wearing the kilayim. So it's actually fascinating. This idea of, exactly, right? This idea of equating, in the context of kilayim, a case of kumba asay being malbish with a sheva al taisa continued to wearing, that's very similar to a ritva that we were discussing. And it could be, right, remember the Ritva in Mako said, yeah, in the context of Kilayim, there's an equation between passively wearing Kilayim b'shev al taisa, where that's nechshav, as if it's a kumba asay, so it could be that's the basis of this Raga Shavra as well. Then the case of being malbish, just like a malbish is going to be chayiv when you kumba asay actively dons the Kilayim on the person, you can extend that also to a case where you passively allow the other person to continually wear it as well.
Doesn't that undo or discount all the lamdas we saw in Tosfos about the difference between tzitzit and shat ituf and kilayim, which is a perpetual kumvaseh?
Who are you asking on? Just make sure I understand.
On the second assumption of the Tzafnos Paneach.
The second assumption of the Tzafnos Paneach? Second assumption was a din and kilayim.
Right. Where he says that at the time of the Levisha, the malvish is over a kumvaseh, and then after that...
No. That's the third assumption, is that Tzafnos Paneach is saying you allowing a person to continue wearing kilayim has a din of being malbish. And remember, Tzafnos Paneach takes back to a lacha chabtas. This is a case where you see your friend in the shuk, right, wearing kilayim, right? So freeze frame, right now. You didn't put it on him. You're just allowing him to continue wearing it by not saying anything. That, the Tzafnos Paneach assumes, is like being malbish. It's exactly like that Ritva. He's basically saying that the Sheva al Taisa allowing him to continue wearing it is as if you're being malbish, the Kilayim on him. You hear?
Doesn't the according to the Shagas Aryeh, for the Shumas Adeshin, that he shouldn't...
He's not explaining the Shumas Adeshin.
No, I'm saying that.
Oh, yeah.
For the Shumas Adeshin, that if you are telling the Kohen that he has, that there's a Tamei in the house, why shouldn't you wait and get all the...
No, but...
You're getting Isser by not telling him right away, because you're a bystander.
Meaning the Shagas Aryeh is explaining the second approach. The Rambam, who would say that you do have to tell him, meaning the Shumas Adeshin disagrees with this lamdas, and he says no, it's only b'shogeg, and he doesn't think that the din of arvus carries over. Dov, ask your question again.
Which one?
The lifnei iver. I think
which is in the first thing of the Rambam when you're malbish and the lovish also.
I mean, are you basically asking why doesn't
lovish mazik? As in, I would, if it's causing them to be worn, they're both equally doing it. One by giving it to one to put on the other one by.
What is that? Your question?
Why would in the first case? Why would one be lifting iver and another one be kilayim? Putting it on him.
Because the iser kilayim. The assumption is that the iser kilayim, only one person is going to violate the iser kilayim. The person who is most responsible for the levisha. So in the case where the lovish is also responsible, he's obviously the primary party, and the malbish is only an accessory. In the case where the lovish has no clue what's going on, then the malbish is considered the primary party. Okay? So, we'll stop here. Anyone else asking any questions? Feel free.